Okay, we're in chapter 40 today. I'm moving into another section of this book. In the opening sentence, he says the purpose of the section entitled Green Letters was to set forth truths of identification as well as some of the basic principles by which God brings us into their reality. As a sequel to the letters, he says, this study deals with the essential principles having to do with our reckoning on the identification truths. Now, I'll remind you, originally this was four separate books that Miles Stanford wrote after them being out for a number of years as these five separate books, they combine them into this one. The first book was entitled The Green Letters. And, of course, that's what we started with here. We actually originally had just that little Green Letters book that we handed out and we went through. And it's the first 18 chapters of this larger book. And in it, of course, we did see, some very important principles of the Christian life that involve our identification with the Lord Jesus Christ and just how we begin to appropriate those provisions. Well, we saw, of course, the importance of reckoning. We're to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. We're to reckon ourselves as being alive unto God. And so this section of the book is going to be focused on this issue of identification. It's an attempt to answer the question, how do I reckon? How do I go about doing this? I am to reckon myself to be dead indeed to the old. I am to reckon myself to be alive unto the new. And we've seen, of course, and he'll, I think, touch on this a little later in the chapter, but the word reckon has to do with to count as true. And really, reckoning goes hand in hand with faith. Because faith is putting my confidence in the statements of God. It's counting as true what God says and operating on the basis of it. And so reckoning and faith are very closely linked. Now, he says, to facilitate our understanding of the subject, we will define at the outset the three basic elements of the reckoning that counts. Now, here's where he goes on to look at these three principles. Now, he says, according to Webster, a principle is the law of nature or the method by which a thing operates. The how of reckoning is based on principles. Now, again, in the physical world, there are certain principles that play out. There are certain laws that guide things. And the same is true in the spiritual realm. And that's where he's saying, there are certain principles in play in our spiritual development, certain principles that God has put into place. And that, the whole reckoning process that's so important to the Christian life has principles involved with it. And he goes on to write, our Father works according to His spiritual principles to fulfill His purpose in our lives. Now again, what is His purpose in our lives? We dealt with that in a much earlier chapter. His purpose in our lives is to conform us to the image of Christ. That is His purpose. And he does not swerve from that. That is our predetermined destination. One day you and I will be conformed to the image of Christ. We're told that when Christ returns, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We are one day going to be conformed, but God is working even today in the process of conforming us to his image. And so he says, our Father works according to his spiritual principles to fulfill his purpose in our lives. And he says, for example, he brings us into the reality of our identification on the basis of the principle of knowledge. Know the scriptural truths. The principle of faith, reckon on the truths known. And the principle of time, yield to his lifetime processing for growth in the truths known and reckoned on. So he talks about three principles here. First, you know, our spiritual development rests on the principle of knowledge. We cannot reckon on what we do not know. We cannot count as true what we don't know. And so, you know, one of the principles of our spiritual development, one of the principles of reckoning is that we have to come to know the scriptures. We have to come to know what God says. What he, you know, declares in his word is true regarding his provision for us, regarding who we are, regarding what we have. We have to know. The second principle, he says, is the principle of faith. We have to believe God. In our monthly senior fellowship, we've been talking about some of this. The issue that the just are to live by faith. We aren't just to be saved by faith, we are to live by faith. You know, we put our confidence in what God said regarding Christ as our Redeemer, as our substitute. That's how we entered into salvation. And that's important. But the Christian life isn't about just believing that Christ died for my sins and then just going on with life. No, the Christian life is about me coming to know all the different things that God says are true of me now that I am a believer. And by faith, functioning on the basis of each of these truths. And then he says there's this principle of time. And we talked about that early in our studies and have talked about it a bit along the way. There is a time of processing. You know, I come to see in God's Word something that he says is true about me in Christ. I come to see it, and then by faith, I count that to be true for me. I believe him. But it doesn't instantaneously then become an experiential reality in me. It takes time for God to make it real experientially. Positionally, it is real. You know, Scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. I have to see that in God's Word. I have to believe that I indeed am a new creation. But then I've got to realize that it is going to take time for God to move me who has been living my whole life in Adam up to this point, and to really move me to the point where I am consistently living my life as that new creation I am in Christ. That time factor, which is so incredibly important. It's incredibly important for us with regards to our own spiritual development, but it's also important as we deal with others to realize that there is always going to be a time factor involved. Now, going on, he says, the truths of identification are those facts, and again, it's an issue of facts. The world defines faith as basically believing something in which there are no, behind which there are no facts. That's not biblical faith. Biblical faith rests solidly on facts. Facts that can only be verified by the statements of God. But facts nevertheless, because if God says it, and God, one of the attributes of God is truth, if He says it, it's real. And so He says the truths of identification are facts in the Word that reveal our identification with Christ in His death to sin, and in our subsequent recreation in His resurrection. Scripture tells us that we died with Christ, and that that death with Christ totally altered our relationship to the old. We no longer are slaves of sin. We no longer are citizens of this world. We no longer have to serve the world, the flesh, or Satan. Why? Because Scripture says we are new creations in Christ. We've been identified with His death, which separated us from the old, and with His resurrection, which brings us into a whole new realm. And he says, as foreknown believers, God who from eternity past saw us as those who had put our faith in Christ, our Father judicially placed us in His Son on the cross, so that we died in Him to sin and are now alive to Him in God. Now at this point where he goes on to define what it means to reckon. He says, the word means to regard as being, to count as true. Romans 6:11 calls upon us to count upon the truths of our identification with Christ. We are to consider, or the King James and New King James says, reckon yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. We are to count it as true that we died with Christ. We are to count it as true that we now have a new life in Christ. And he says, we count on the truth that is made known to us. We exercise faith by resting on the facts. We count on the truth that's made known to us. And what is that truth? That, Christ's death is counted as our death. That His resurrection is counted as our resurrection. That His life now is our source of life. And by faith, we're to rest on those facts. We are to believe that we are new creations. But then we're going to see there is, you know, a process to that new creation life really coming forth and being seen in and through us. Now, he says it may be helpful to observe that there is a pattern throughout our spiritual development. You know, and he's going to show that there is a pattern that repeats itself as we grow in our walk with the Lord, as we develop the new creations we are in Christ. He says, whether we realize it or not, we began to reckon at the very beginning of our Christian life. He says, as lost sinners, we were convicted of our need and shown in the Word that the Savior died on the cross to redeem us. By His grace, we reckoned on the truth and received Him as our personal Savior. So he says the whole principle of reckoning goes back to our initial salvation. You know, when we were first saved, what happened? We came to know what God said. We came to know that Scripture stated that we were sinners separated from God. We came to know that the Scripture said that Christ died for our sins. We came to know that Scripture said that whoever believed on Him could be saved. And by faith, we counted on that truth. We reckoned it to be true. We said, I believe God. And the result was, what? We became children of God. Because we knew what He said, we reckoned by faith, accepted it to be true, and we reckoned upon it. And so He became our personal Savior. And He says, you know, at that point, with our hearts full of love and zeal, we became active for the Lord as our new life began to emerge. And He said, all went well for a time, possibly several years. Then, imperceptibly, a deadly declension set in. We had been so busy enjoying the new experience and activities that we inadvertently began to neglect the source of all true life and service, both the written and the living Word. And the inevitable result, he says, was the reassertion of the enslaving influence of sin, self, law, and the world. Almost before we realized it, we were defeated, heartsick, and wretched. So he says we started out well. You know, it all started when we reckoned upon what Christ had done for us on the cross. And initially, you know, everything seemed to go well. You know, we were excited about our new salvation. We wanted to serve the Lord. We got out there and we were involved. And that went on for a while, but then all of a sudden everything seemed to change. We quit going forward, and, you know, again, many often think, well, I went backward, I slid back. No, you stepped off the ground of who you were in Christ, and you began to live once again on the basis of that old Adamic life. Somewhere along the line, the focus ceased from being on Christ as our source to what now we were doing for Him. Because we had come to see Him as our Savior, but we hadn't really yet come to see Him as our source of everything. We hadn't come to see Him as our source of life. We knew what the Scripture said about Him on that most basic level. We believed what the Scripture said about Him on that most basic level. But we really did not go much further than that. And so He says, finally, after years of failure in both life and service, we were prepared to see something of the wonderful truths concerning our identification with the Lord Jesus Christ in His death and resurrection. And we saw that He not only freed us from the guilt and penalty of sin, but from the power and domination of the principle of sin. And so He says, here we see the pattern of the experience of babes in Christ. We believed, we struggled, we failed. Why? Because that was necessary. See, we came to embrace Christ as our Savior because we saw the need of Him as our Savior. But we're never going to embrace Him as our life until we come to see our need of Him as our life. And so, the Lord let us start out well as believers. We were infants. We were babes in Christ. And God treated us as such. But as we began to age, it came to that point where God is saying, I want more for you than simply you knowing you're going to heaven one day. I want you to begin to know all that you are and have in Christ. And to bring us to that place, He had to let us go through failure. Failure that showed me, look, it's not enough for me to have a ticket into heaven. I need God's provision for today. I cannot live the Christian life in my own strength. Paul had to come to that point. You've heard me quote from Romans 7 over and over and over again, because it is so much the experience of almost every believer in the Christian life. Coming to that place of saying, oh, wretched man that I am. You know, the good I want to do, I seem unable to do it. And the evil I don't want to do, I seem to continually do it. Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. It was our struggles and failures in sin that brought us to Christ as Savior. It's our struggles and failures in our attempts at the Christian life to bring us to Christ as our life, as our source of everything.
Rick, you know, I was thinking about this as we deal with some things ourselves. Just the beauty of this, hard as it is, but that, it, as you said, it's so necessary that we go through these struggle times, these what feel like we're just downtrodden spiritually, and how important it is because God's teaching us our need of Him. And as we do this, and this happens probably more than once through our lives, probably a good many times, But even to come to the place where we are facing something that you feel like you cannot bear, to be able to say, Lord, I don't want to go there. I want to stand strong in you and all that I am in Christ and not fall to that again and again. And we know, you know, we come as we grow to realize what we can do here. Okay, in this, I can approach it this way or I can see it this way. And it's we just continue to grow and the Lord continues to teach us. And we can then begin to have times when we don't have to fall in as deep a hole as you would if you will. In it all. And every one of those times is beneficial if we let the Lord. And we can say, Lord, I'm struggling so bad here. I don't even know what to do, but I'm asking you to show me. And I can guarantee you you will.
Yeah.
I know it.
Yeah. You know, and we wish that, okay, just like coming to salvation was a kind of a once-off point. We wish that coming to see Christ as our life would be kind of a once-off thing. But it is not, in the sense that there are so many different areas of our lives that Christ wants to be involved in. And it's not like all of a sudden we recognize his provision for every area and we utilize his provision for every area. There's going to be this journey of him through our failures bringing us to a point of seeing the need of Christ for that and learning how Christ has provided for that and reckoning upon that. Only to have another area later on that we have to come to see. And the Christian life is going to be a journey that involves at times failure, that brings us to a place of discovery of, you know, what we are and have in Christ, to bringing us to the place of appropriation through by means of reckoning, and then moving forward. We have a very high calling, that of being conformed to the very image of Christ. And that transformation doesn't take place easily. But so he has shown this pattern. We accept Christ as Savior. We try to initially just move forward with life, with the joy of knowing we're now going to heaven. Only to discover, you know, that there's failure in our lives, bringing us to the place of really being ready to begin to understand some of the identification truth. What it means to be in Christ. What it means to be identified with his death, burial, and resurrection. And he says, okay, now, What of the pattern of our adulthood? When we come to the place of reckoning on the identification truths, he says, just as in our counting on the justification truths for the initial steps of birth and babyhood, so in our reckoning on the identification truths for growth. We start immediately to work for the Lord in testifying of our new experience. We want everyone to know of our new joy and freedom through reckoning. He said it's the same pattern, kind of. When we first got saved, we were excited and we wanted to share with everyone, you know, that salvation. Now we come to begin to understand these truths and we're excited about it. And we want to share it. We want everyone to know. And he says, not only do we seek out opportunities to share and teach these new to us truths, but where necessary, we make openings. And we are surprised to discover that few, if any, fellow believers prove to be receptive. As a matter of fact, many become antagonistic, and some even accuse us of falling into error. And he says, there are times when we limp home, not quite as sure or enthusiastic about all as when we started. You know, I've seen this. We met with a young man when we were up in Waukesha. Of course, we had our study with students on Tuesday nights, but there was this young man and this woman who couldn't come at night, and we met with them one afternoon a week. And he had been saved early in life, but had really walked away from the Lord, had gone down a very bad direction, but then had come back to the Lord. And man, these truths just meant so much to him. And he had a number of people, Christians, working under him at work. And so he got excited. He bought them all a copy of the Green Letters and gave it to them. And then he was kind of disappointed because most of them just really didn't seem to get very excited about it. Why? Because they weren't at that place yet. They weren't ready. They hadn't come to the place of failure where they were saying, the good I want to do, I can't do, and the evil I don't want to do, I continually do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to rescue me? They weren't at that place. The same when we were in Ireland. There were a handful of believers that were at that very special place. That place of total disillusionment with the Christian life. Of saying, I've tried to live the Christian life, but I can't do it. They were ready to learn these truths. But then they went out and they shared them with other believers who just thought they were going off the rails. Who weren't ready to hear it. Now fortunately, in none of those cases did they really get so disheartened that they swerved from the truth. They continued to walk on. And, you know, fortunately, we knew enough that as we met with them, we could say, look, we aren't surprised. That, again, God has got to bring people to a place where they're ready to hear these further truths. Some are still at the point of thinking that their salvation from the guilt and penalty of sin is enough. They don't see any further need in their lives. But that will often come with time. And he says, going on, then too, we begin to grow careless about our reckoning. We forget about the liberating truths for longer and longer periods of time. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in life. You know, we learn these truths and we're excited about these truths, and these truths begin to have their impact. But if we do not remind ourselves of them constantly, we can begin to drift from them. We can begin to move away. You know, Paul, in the opening verses of Romans 12, tells us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed. How? By the renewing of our minds. Once again, it would be nice if that renewal would be a once-off thing. wake up one morning and say, hey, I'm going to renew my mind. And I renew it, and from then on, it's new. It doesn't seem to work that way. The renewing of our mind is an ongoing process. You know, during our 14 years there at Waukesha, we probably went through that first little Green Letters book. See, we did it every year, but some years we did it twice. And then we probably went through it about at least 18 times, not counting the numerous times we went through it in Ireland, because there nobody wanted to meet as a group. They all wanted us to meet one-on-one with them. And I would say conservatively, we've been through it like 25 times. And people say, don't you get tired of going through this? And I say, no, because I've got to be reminded of these truths over and over and over and over again. It's so easy in the world we live in, with the pressures we face, with the perspective that is being given to us day after day after day after day, we have to constantly be reminded. And if we don't, it's so easy for us to begin forgetting these truths. And he says, once again, we are relying more on our experience than on our source, the risen Christ, and the means, reckoning, of receiving His abundant life. We get more and more focused on our own experience, what we're doing, what we're experiencing out here in the world, rather than keeping our focus on Christ. And instead of constantly reckoning upon what is true of us in Him. And he says, what is the sure result of concentrating on our experience rather than truth? Is defeat. Thus the pattern is completed. Our failure in the identification realm parallels our failure in the early justification phase. It says, here we go, same pattern. We're right, everything's gone the same way. You know, in the first phase, we came to see we came to see Christ as our substitute. We embraced Him as such. We began to grow. We began to experience something of our new life in Christ. But then our eyes got less and less on Him. It got more and more on us, and we failed. And we came to that Romans 7 experience. And God began to show us the truths that there was so much more to our salvation than Christ dying for us. He took us with Him to the cross. He brought us with Him out of the tomb. He brought us into a whole new realm of life. And we began to know these facts. We began to count upon these facts. We began to experience them. But our hearts and minds moved away from the putting our reckoning upon the facts of what Christ has accomplished to becoming more and more on our own experience. Our minds moved away from Him. Our hearts moved away from Him. We got more caught up in our experience. And that's when our experience began to go downhill. Because we were no longer focused on our source, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, at just this point, many believers begin to waver in their hope and expectation of freedom from the old life and abundant growth in the new. Their confidence in the truths of identification begins to wane. How many defeated Christians have exclaimed bitterly, "I tried Romans 6, but reckoning didn't work for me. I tried it. I tried counting myself dead to sin. I tried counting myself alive unto God. It didn't work." He says, most discouraged people turn back to the futile struggles of Romans 7 as a result of this seeming failure. Some even follow the alluring experience-centered errors of the so-called holiness group. But whatever it may be, all outside of the realm of the Spirit-taught and Spirit-ministered identification truths results in compounded failure and bondage. Paul asked the churches in Galatia, you know, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect or mature in the flesh? You know, it's so easy, again, to turn back. And this is why, and again, we have to get into this more next week. You know, we can't, it had that third principle, the principle of time. There's a pattern to the way God works. Again, we learn something. We reckon upon it. We have some experiential aspect of it seen in our lives. We get our eyes off of Him. We fail, and God brings us back. And He does this over time. I accepted Christ as my Savior when I was 5 years old. I'm 72 years old now. And I'm still learning. There's a lot of time involved in the Christian life. And we'll talk about that a little bit more next week. But right now we're out of time. Again, I think this is an important section of the book because we really need to understand reckoning and what's involved in it. Because any real development in our Christian life flows from our reckoning upon what is true of us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we do thank You for Christ. Lord, we came to appreciate Him as our Savior, but Lord, may we appreciate Him more and more each day as our life, as our source of everything. May we come to realize what it means that in Christ dwells all Your fullness in a bodily form, and that we are complete or made full in Him. That everything necessary for life and godliness is ours in Him. But Lord, it's only as we learn to reckon upon these truths and let Your Spirit do His work that we really see the impact of it in our daily lives. Lord, may we truly gain renewed minds that transform us. Lord, we do look forward now to the service ahead. And Lord, we do pray that You use Thomas to move us further in our understanding of Your Word. For it's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen.